Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with tap to pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone. So Money, episode 1653, Ask Farnoosh.
You're listening to So Money with award-winning money guru Farnoosh Torabi. Each day, get a 30-minute dose of financial inspiration from the world's top business minds, authors, influencers, and from Farnoosh herself. Looking for ways to save on gas or double your double coupons? Sorry, you're in the wrong place. Seeking profound ways to live a richer, happier life? Welcome to So Money.
Welcome to So Money, everybody. It's Farnoosh. It's Friday. You're listening to Ask Farnoosh Friday on So Money, where we're going to tackle your financial questions that have come in from all the ways, from Instagram, from LinkedIn, from my emails. First, though, big news. Big news. This just in, your favorite podcast, So Money, has been nominated for a 2024 Webby. I was scrolling my phone before bed a couple nights ago, and I saw that people were announcing that they were nominated for Webbies, and I immediately felt like crap. I felt fear. I felt sadness. I felt rejection. I felt self-doubt because I had submitted an episode of So Money for a Webby, and I guess I thought, well, it didn't make the cut. I mean, there were 13,000 entries, and then I thought to myself, you know what? Farnoosh, just check your spam because you never know. And lo and behold, after a quick search for Webby and So Money in my inbox, I found from days prior an email that read, "Congratulations, you are officially a Webby nominee." And I was almost brought to tears because this particular episode that I submitted, it almost didn't happen. It was one of the hardest things I ever had to pull off. It was a live episode last summer with Michelle Buteau, comedian, in front of a live audience at the Midnight Theater in New York City. Michelle came, she delivered, she over-delivered. It was one of the best nights, but the production behind the scenes was an absolute nightmare. I can't tell you all of it, but let me just say, I think there are some people up there that are looking out for me who are sympathizing. I mean, they were like, let's have her think this was all worth it. Do you remember that episode with Michelle Buteau? It was last summer. I'll put that link in our show notes where you can catch it again. It was the one where we talked to Michelle, who's a comedian and author, star of Survival of the Thickest on Netflix. We talked about her storied life as the daughter of immigrants. She gave insights into how she invests, managing her career, building her career from her 20s while she had a full-time job, like side hustles, working the comedy clubs. To win this Webby, we need your support. I would love your vote. I have that link in our show notes as well. I'm going to be mentioning this on every episode until the deadline, which is in a couple of weeks, but would love your vote to get us to win. It's really hard. I'm in a category with some heavy hitters that have a lot more resources than I do and deeper pockets. So I would love if you would just give us your vote. If you've been listening to this show for a while, or even just today's your first time, welcome. You can show us your support by clicking that link in the show notes and casting your vote. And I hope to get on that stage. I would love to put on a dress, get up on stage and hold that Webby. And I hope Michelle will join me. I texted her when I found out, and I realized after I hit send, I was like, what did I just do? It's past midnight. I should not be texting someone past midnight, but I was so out of it. I was like, I was floored. And she responded and we've been chatting about it and we are just both really excited and honored for this recognition. So wanted to kick us off this Friday with some really good news. Thank you to everybody who made that night possible. Now our episodes this week, hey, maybe I'll submit these for Webbies because they were pretty good too. On Monday, we talked about what women actually want in their financial lives. And I also discovered in that episode that I'm lacking some confidence in some areas and our guest helped me navigate all of that. Wendy Pettis. She's known as the Relationships Whisperer. She is a psychologist. She's an MBA. She's worked on Wall Street. She's a sex educator. And she uses all of these skills to guide women toward financial empowerment and personal fulfillment. So please check out that episode with Wendy on Monday. And then on Wednesday, if you're somebody who struggles with communication, or if there's someone in your life who's not a great communicator, in whatever realm, it could be in your financial life, in your career life, in just your day-to-day life. We had a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist on the show and author of the new New York Times bestselling book called Super Communicators, Charles Duhigg. He shared science-backed ways to communicate more effectively about money, about work, about life. He told me that there are three types of conversations. And if you're having one type of conversation with someone who's having a different type of conversation, you're never going to connect. You might fight. I had a recent episode of this in my personal life, talked about that on the episode. You don't want to miss that episode. And if you did listen to it, go back and listen to it again because there were so many gems. All right, now turning my attention to my authors to be in the audience. If you have wanted to write a book, a nonfiction book, a memoir, a service-driven book. You may have heard me talk about Book to Brand. It's my special intimate live New York City workshop that I've been hosting for many years. It's back in May, May 17th. Today is the last day to buy your ticket, to reserve your seat at our lowest price. It's the early bird special. It expires tonight at midnight. You can go to booktobrand.co, booktobrand.co to learn more about what we have planned for the day. In the morning, my co-host, Rochelle Fredson, who's a book proposal coach. She was my book proposal coach. She's going to walk us through the essential elements of a book proposal. You'll have a chance to ask questions about your own writing process. And then in the afternoon, we're going to meet literary agents. We're going to meet publishers, editors, where you can then pose your questions to them, connect with these incredible people who are really the gatekeepers in the traditional publishing space. And for us, for Rochelle and I, these are relationships that we have cultivated over the decades. And we bring everybody together in one room for one engagement. It's happening May 17th in New York. Again, learn more at booktobrand.co. But today is an important day because reserving your ticket, the price will go up tomorrow. Today is the last day to reserve at our early bird price. And we only have a few seats left. We're keeping this intentionally small. We don't want you to feel like you're competing with dozens and dozens of other people to have your questions answered, to create these really valuable relationships that will serve you in your book writing and book publishing process. Okay, let's go to the mailbag. First question is from Michael. And he's asking about credit card points. When, how, why to open up a card that offers reward benefits, whether that's cash back or credit card points, and how to optimize them. This is a whole episode potentially. And in fact, just this week, members of my So Money Members Club, we did sort of an impromptu webinar on this. There's someone in our group, shout out to Dan, who is a real expert at this. He is very passionate about card hacking and has done very well for himself on that front. He's gotten many trips to exotic places and lots of incredible travel deals and travel savings through his credit card points hacking. So he gave us some pointers. And as it relates to our friend in the audience, Michael, and what he's looking to do, he says that specifically he's looking to pay for an unusually high expense in the near future. And he wants advice on how to take advantage of credit card promotions that might help him on the back end after paying for this high expense, get some sort of rewards or some perks to having spent all this money on that card. So firstly, I just want to say, and this is something that I learned from Dan and our So Money Members Club, is that when you're looking to open up one of these types of rewards cards, it's good if you have maybe an expense coming up that would require a lot of capital. So whether that's a wedding or you're about to pay for a home remodel, and if you can't put it on your credit card, and you can pay off that bill every month in full, very important. We're not talking to folks who plan on carrying balances here. If you're looking to carry a balance, the best card is the one with the lowest interest rate for you. Once you've graduated from that, then you're in a good place to be shopping around for a rewards card. My brother and his wife, for example, they paid for a lot of their wedding expenses on a credit card, which they opened up at the beginning of their whole wedding planning process. And by the end, they had racked up enough points to get a lot of their honeymoon funded. So having that foresight is really helpful. There's two types of rewards cards, right? There's cash back. And then there are the points oriented cards, which give you points for, you know, you spend for every time you spend money on certain categories of expenses. Some cards are more suited to people who spend a lot on travel to get those points tied to travel expenses. In other cases, there are cards that are tied to more day-to-day expenses like eating out, groceries, gas. Cashback cards, I think, are kind of the holy grail because cash is queen. Cash is king. Nothing better than cash, and you can spend it on whatever you want. It never expires. Points, however, can be really, really advantageous for folks who do want to travel, and you can open up specific rewards cards that are travel oriented. If there's a particular airline that you use a lot, a hotel chain that you use a lot, there are cards tied to that that give you points that you can then use for booking travel with their brands. A great place to look for these types of cards and to rank and review these cards is thepointsguy.com, nerdwallet.com. And Michael asks, is this even worth it? You know, yeah, for sure. But you want to have a plan and you want to be committed, of course, to paying that monthly payment every single month, not carrying a balance. Be careful. Some of these cards do carry annual fees. So you do want to make a little bit of a calculation to make sure that that annual fee, you're going to get more in benefits, more in value using this card than what the annual fee costs. So step one, I would say, is figure out what's more important to you, cash back or points. If it's points, then the next question is, well, what kind of a shopper consumer am I? Like, how do I mostly spend my credit card dollars so that I can search for a card that is best aligned with the kind of consumer that I am, because they're going to give me points, more points for the kinds of expenses that I make. It may end up being a general points card that rewards you for, again, those day-to-day expenses, gas, groceries, eating out. You might be more of a traveler, so maybe you do want to look for a specific travel rewards credit card so that every time you spend money on travel, you get a lot of points that maybe you can even then redeem at the airlines and the hotels and the resorts that you prefer to use. There are tools online to help you narrow down that search. There's creditcards.com, nerdwallet.com, thepointsguy.com. By the way, I'm reopening enrollment to the So Money Members Club in a few weeks. So if you want to get this webinar that we did on credit card points, plus so much else that we have already stored in our member vault, trainings on investing, real estate, earning more money. We're only 3 or 4 months old, our members club, and we have really covered a lot of ground. So as a member coming in this spring, you're going to get access to all that stuff, plus all the ongoing content and communication. The best part about this community is the members and all the advice that we're giving one another, insights we're sharing on the go. It's pretty incredible. And I'm excited to share more about that in the coming weeks.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
You want to know what's worse than shopping for jeans? Shopping for bras. It's never been fun for me. Until Third Love came into my life. Third Love was launched to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. They make solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen probably since high school and have straps that actually stay put. Third Love's bras are designed at their headquarters in San Francisco, and they're made from premium materials. They put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before they're given the stamp of approval. And whether you're a double A or an H cup, their virtual fitting room can help find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups, so long feeling stuck between two cup sizes that just don't fit. It's time to get your problems solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with the code podcast15. That's thirdlove.com to get $15 off your order with the code podcast15. All right. Are you following me on Instagram? I love sharing funny memes on Instagram and advice. One of my most viral videos recently, I couldn't believe this. It was actually a clip from this podcast. It was Georgia Lee Hussey, one of my favorite financial planners on the show, talking about health savings accounts. And I even guessed it as she was giving the advice on the show. I said, Georgia, this is going to go viral. I'm going to take this clip and I'm going to put it on Instagram and you just wait. And honestly, I couldn't have been more on the money. 216,000 views, 3,000 likes, 141 comments. I'll put that link in the show notes, but follow me on Instagram. This is, there's a point to this. I want to bring up a question that I got on Instagram recently. Just yesterday, I posted a funny meme. It was a prince. You know, rest in peace, Prince, making a Prince face. And it was like sort of like a don't mess with me face. And the caption said, like, me refusing to reveal my salary requirements until they show their cards first. And then I went on to talk about the importance of playing your cards right when you're in a salary negotiation before accepting a job, because this is the time in your career when you can really make more money. The best time to get a raise is actually before you accept the job. And often when we reveal our salary requirements first, there's a risk to that, right? That we might be lowballing ourselves, that there won't be much negotiation beyond that. The employer might just be like, okay. And then, you know, you've really lowballed yourself. So the advice that I've been given from the experts and that I've practiced that has worked for me, because I've done it the other way and it hasn't worked out, versus when they say, how much do you want to make? Or what is your fee? Or what is your salary requirement? I'll say, well, I'd like to first learn more about the responsibilities. And if you have a budget in mind, I would really like to know what that is. Get them to talk about their salary range and their salary budget, because you might be pleasantly surprised. Often we do lowball ourselves, even if we've done the research. Not always is this the case, but I think that this could be a good plan A. But then a follower wrote to me and she made a good point. She said, what if you have a resistant employer who is not going to reveal their numbers first and they keep throwing the hot potato back to you? What do you do then? Okay, I get it. You know, it's not going to work all the time. So in that case, your plan B is to reveal a number first, but it's not going to be based on what you were making. You never want to reveal what you are currently making or have previously made. This is actually banned in many states where employers cannot ask you your salary history or what you're currently making because, hello, they're going to use it not to your advantage, but to keep you kind of stuck at that salary point, to lowball you. And so what instead you want to do is do the research of, you know, given my experience, my talents, my years in the workplace, my industry, my geographic location, this sector, this market, there's all the rich research out there. Whether you go to a site like payscale.com, glassdoor.com, salary.com. I also recommend networking on LinkedIn and finding people within your network who may have worked at this company or work in your industry and just flat out ask them about salary expectations, average pay, et cetera. And so you go into the interview prepared to offer a number, but it's going to be deeply rooted in the research. And you're going to talk about that. You're going to give that number context and you're going to explain firmly and enthusiastically, this is the number. And I would actually recommend, and this is again, advice that I've been given on this podcast by many experts, that you have a number in your mind that you want to earn. When you speak that number, you want to add 15 to 20% to that number and then speak it. So if you want to make $100,000, that's like your floor. You ask for 120 because this is the beginning of a discussion now. You're in a negotiation. Employers expect this. When I was starting out, my fear was that if I negotiated, that I was going to be branded as difficult, ungrateful, and I wouldn't be getting the job. But like, let's take a big giant step back, okay? And let's recognize that, and this is again advice I was given on the show just I think this year, someone came on the show and said this, that when you're in a negotiation and you may have gotten through rounds of interviews, as is typical these days, the company's invested in finding the right person and they've identified you as a potential candidate. They've gotten pretty far with you. They've invested time and resources. They want this to work. So remember that you have actually more power than you might assume in this moment. So rise to the occasion. Plan A, get them to talk numbers first. You might be pleasantly surprised. If that's not where the conversation's headed and they keep kicking it back to you, then you show up with a number that is well-informed, you're enthusiastic, you mention a number that's above what you actually want to make because you want to leave room for that negotiation. I've done many episodes on negotiation on So Money, and I'll continue to do more episodes on negotiation on So Money. If you have a question about your job hunt right now, we've been doing a bunch of episodes on employment, and I think it's just because it's a weird time out there, right? Am I right? It's kind of a silent recession, depending on your industry, of course. Definitely tech. Employers, even if they are hiring, they're very slow to hire. Hang in there. Hang in there, my friends. I'm going to try to help you out. I've been getting this question a lot. Next up is a question from Kristen, who's actually in my So Money community, and she's echoing what I'm hearing privately on Instagram DM, is, Farnoosh, I want a user-friendly but effective budgeting app. Since Mint has gone away, a lot of us are scrambling. The users have been rolled into Credit Karma. They don't have access to their Mint accounts. So it's a real bummer for people who are really happy with Mint. And I, if you've been listening to the show, I don't have a budgeting app per se. In the olden days, when I was in my 20s, I used an Excel spreadsheet to track my spending. This is before we had iPhones and apps. And then by the time we had iPhones and apps, I've had kind of like gotten a handle on things. I find that budgeting is sort of like nutrition and figuring out what you want to eat, what you should eat, because it's healthy. It's a lot of trial and error. You have to track it. You have to track the results. It's helpful to work with someone. And at the end of the day, you know what you have to do, right? You have to have your expenses be less than your income. And with eating, you also want to balance. Over the years, I've just gotten to know what I can and cannot or should not afford based on what I make, what my expenses are, and what's really quote unquote worth it to me. Like what's really going to be the payoff of for things that I buy that are not needs and just wants. That being said, I know that I'm maybe an outlier, but Mint is no longer around. So what do we do? I'll tell you what some of the people in the So Money community are using and fans of. You need a budget, YNAB. It's not just an app, it's a whole system. And the founder, Jesse Meekum, was actually on So Money years and years ago talking about how his idea for the platform, for the budgeting app, is to give every one of our dollars an assignment, a job. So this is not a passive budgeting app. You really have to participate, understand what you want to do with your money before you spend it. There's lots of different expense categories, buckets, and they use what's called the zero-based budgeting method. People love it. It's not free. It costs about $100 a year. There's a $15 a month subscription. I think you get the first 30 days free. Monarch Money is also one that I've heard people rave about. It's similar to YNAB. It works on that zero-based budgeting model. And people love the interface. They think it's very pretty, very easy on the eyes. And that one is also the same price as You Need a Budget. What I use, my husband and I, we don't, again, have a budgeting app, but we do use Empower, the free version, the free download, just to tie all of our accounts to one platform so that he and I can log in and see what all of our accounts are doing, when checks get cleared. Of course, we can check into each and every one of our own accounts individually, but this way it streamlines everything. What I don't love about it is that it is a bit of a, there is a delay. So it's not to the minute. It's not even to the day sometimes. I think that they refresh the accounts every 48 or 72 hours, which is a little annoying, but you know, more or less, it tells you what's going on. And at the very top, it shows you your net worth. It breaks down by savings, investments, your assets, your liabilities. You can even add things like the value of your artwork, the value of your cars, if you were to sell them, so that if you really had to liquidate, you would know what you are worth. And it's encouraging because you're worth more than you probably think if push comes to shove. And last question is about credit cards and whether we should close them if we're not using them anymore. How does that impact our credit score? All right, let's do a quick download on what impacts your credit score. What are the variables and how important are these variables? The most important thing that affects your credit score, and we're talking about the FICO score, which is what 90%+ of lenders look at, that brand of score, as they evaluate your application for credit. The number one variable that impacts your credit score is your payment history. That includes how on time you have been paying your bills every month. Have you been delinquent? Have you ever been late? Are you in foreclosure? Or have you been humming along and paying your bills on time every month? That's number one. I think it's about 35% of your score. 30% of your score is what's known as your debt to credit ratio. That's your utilization of credit. You want to keep your utilization low. To put it simply, if you're out there maxing out your credit cards, you are overutilized. That sends off alarm bells to the credit score calculators versus somebody who, you know, uses their credit card, pays it off, uses their credit card, pays it off, and uses their credit card in small to medium size increments relative to their entire credit limit. Their usage of their credit is 30% or less. So if you've got in across all your credit cards, you add up the credit limits and maybe it's $20,000 and you're using at any given point in time, you know, $5,000 at some point in the month, it's about $5,000, which you're going to pay off. But what your credit score can get pulled at any point during the month, right? It's not when your credit balance is zero necessarily. It could be when your credit balance is $5,000. And if it's $5,000 over $20,000 worth of credit, your utilization at that point is 25%, which is pretty good. The pro tip is to try to keep that utilization to about 10% or less. The people in this country with the highest credit scores, so in the 800s, their average utilization of credit is about 10% or less. We had a guest on the show in the last 6 months, I think, who was a credit expert. And she was telling us that one way to sort of hack that is to pay your bills off every week or every 2 weeks, as opposed to waiting till the end of the month. This only applies to those of us who care about our credit scores right now being pulled at some point because we're in the market for a mortgage or a car loan. So we want to make sure that at whatever point in time between now and trying to acquire that loan, our credit scores are in tip-top shape. If you're not in the market for credit, you can skip this. It's not important. But for those of us who do want to build credit and increase credit and know that the credit card companies, the lenders will be looking at our scores at some point between now and the near future because we are going to be shopping or we are shopping for credit, then get in this habit of paying off your balances frequently to just keep that utilization low at most times, and the score can be as healthy as possible. So 65% of your score is your payment history and your credit utilization. Beyond that, there are a number of other variables. They have less weight. Closing a credit card, that action can potentially lower your score because what does it do? It lowers your available credit, which goes back to what I was talking about, utilization. When that denominator, your available credit, reduces, then potentially your credit utilization goes up, assuming that numerator stays the same. So keep that in mind. Now, sometimes we want to close a credit card because it's traumatic. It represents a time in our life when we were in a lot of debt, and it symbolizes something that we don't want to visit again. I get it. Maybe it's just extra weight in your wallet. I get that too. Here's the workaround. Take the card out of your wallet, out of sight, out of mind, and attach a small monthly bill to it. Could be your water bill, but something automatic that you don't have to ever really review. Like, I have this credit card that I opened up and I didn't close it. I don't even know why I opened it up. It was years ago. There was probably a promotion. I don't know. But I just attach my CVS membership to it, which is like $5 a month. So every month this card gets charged $5, and then it gets cleared every month because I attach my checking account to it, it gets cleared $5. So literally this one card, all I spend is $5 a month, but it keeps it active, keeps that credit limit in my profile, helps my credit score. I don't have this card in my wallet. I couldn't tell you how to log in to check this account. Well, I figure it out, but you know what I mean? It's out of sight, out of mind. So if you're worried again about your credit score being in some cases unfairly reduced, like who cares? Like, you're going to close this credit card. It shouldn't reflect poorly on you. It's your choice, but this is the algorithm. So we have to be strategic. And that's the strategy that I use and others use to just accomplish what we want, which is effectively to never have to deal with this credit card again, but technically keep it on record because it does help that credit score. All right. That's our show this Friday. A few reminders for us. If you want to sign up for Book to Brand tonight, our early bird special goes away. Check out booktobrand.co to learn more about this very special intimate publishing event that I host in New York City. The next one is May 17th. If you'd like to be on the wait list for the So Money Members Club, which is going to reopen enrollment later this month at the end of April, I've got the link where you can sign up, drop in your email. We'll keep you posted. You'll be the first to know when doors open. And as always, if you have a question for me, send me your questions via DM on Instagram. You can email me farnoosh@somoneypodcast.com. I'll see you back here on Monday, and I hope your weekend is so money. Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with tap to pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.